Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
The following wrestling broadcast is being performed by highly trained professional athletes. It is not recommended that their actions be imitated in any form whatsoever in the home.
This is the LAW Retro Wrestling Show with your host, wrestling's only masked cowboy, the Maverick, and wrestling's original superhero, Super Cody.
I don't even know how to lead into that.
Howdy, partners. Welcome to Liberty All-Star Wrestling's Retro Wrestling Radio. I am the Maverick, and I am joined by the one and only superhero himself,
Super Cody.
Easy for you to say.
Hello.
Thank you for tuning in. Like we said, Liberty All-Star Wrestling presents Retro Wrestling Radio here on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network. Friday nights at 9, we talk old school pro wrestling. And unfortunately, partner, we have another major legend pass away on us this week.
Yeah, you know, we're just getting over the shock of our friend George the Animal Steel passing away, and then we hear of another legend that basically passed away last Friday night, and that was one Mr. Ivan Koloff.
Yeah, the Russian Bear himself, Ivan Koloff, legendary figure in pro wrestling, former WWF heavyweight champion, former NWA champion, and so much more. And we're going to dedicate the hour to discussing the Uncle Ivan, the Russian Bear. We're also going to talk about Liberty All-Star Wrestling's big event, April 1st, Homecoming. So how are you this week, my friend?
I am super. You know.
I see. You're going to be a whirlwind conversationalist today, are you?
Well, you know, I'm getting ready for my return to law come April 1st. Briarcliff. Field, Briarcliff Fire Company, 75 Beach Avenue, 6:30 p.m. Bell.
Oh, wait, we stop, stop, stop. You've screwed it all up. You don't get to do it anymore. It's Liberty All-Star Wrestling's homecoming, Saturday, April 1st, at the Briarcliff Fire Company, number 75. The address is 767 Beach Avenue, Glen Olden, PA. 6:30 bell time, all tickets just $12, and the show benefits the Briarcliff Fire Company number 75. There, now you can talk about it.
So, like I said, I'm
show
getting
notes,
ready.
My friend,
you know,
show notes.
Getting ready for my big LAW return. I can't wait. You know, it's been so many years since I've been able to climb into that wonderful ring of LAW, so I'm looking forward to that. Plus, I'm looking forward to seeing some of the wrestlers that LAW has brought in the past year.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be getting to know many of those performers as they will be on the show in the weeks leading up to it, starting next month, 1 month away. And we are going to jump in and start talking about the wrestlers that will be partaking in the giant event. We know there's going to be two championship matches. First off, Liberty All-Star Wrestling Heavyweight Championship will be on the line as the newly crowned John the Creature Cannon will make his first LAW title defense against LAW legend Jimmy Jannetty.
Well, we can't say enough. This is going to be the ultimate new school versus old school matchup. I mean, you have Jannetty who's been in it. Matter of fact, you know, speaking of Ivan Koloff, Jimmy Jannetty has wrestled Ivan Koloff on a few occasions. And, you know, he's been in there with some of the best, and, you know, he's going to bring his A game because the creature John Cannon is so unpredictable.
And, of course, when you mention John Cannon, you now have to be wary of his relationship with Mr. Jester. How this progresses, we don't know, but I'm sure that was just not a one-off. And the two of them, based on their behavior the night of the show and after, that's a unit now. And where it goes from here, we don't know. The two of them are together, and Jannetty's going to have his hands full. He's a wily veteran and no stranger to twisting a few rules to get his way, but he's going to have his hands full when it comes to the very unpredictable John Cannon and now the frighteningly large, sadistic Mr. Jester.
Yeah, like you said, Mr. Jester, you know, he debuted in Law about a year ago, and he is just a monstrous, monstrous human being.
And twisted and deranged. You know, he comes from the Pennhurst Asylum, literally. And he is a frightening individual, the way his mind works, and to be that big and frightening and ferocious. You know, it's quite a pair, and we'll see what happens in the championship match in Briarcliff.
Yeah, if you missed the last LAW show, I mean, Mr. Jester basically manhandled his opponent. And then, you know, just the thought that the evil genius who is John Cannon is going to be steering this monster. The heroes of LAW are going to have their work cut out for them.
Absolutely, no doubt. But, you know, it goes both ways. Because Jimmy Jannetty, like we said, he has been around. An LAW original, he is really one of the premier names when you think about the origins of Philadelphia area wrestling. One of the founding fathers and pioneers. He helped get it all started.
He did, you know. You could almost say that a lot of what goes on in wrestling today, he was one of those guys that changed the course of it. You know, and I don't think he gets the credit he deserves on that.
No, absolutely not. And that's the main event, our big match, big heavyweight championship match, that is. And the only way to see it is to come to LAW Homecoming. And then, of course, the second big title match, you've been following it. If you've been following this show, I've spoken on it a few times because I may or may not have a close tie to it for the LAW Tag Team Champions. The newly crowned Tag Team Champions, those no-good, rotten, dirty crooks, Elite International, take on the number one contenders to those belts, Norm the Barfly, and this masked wrestling cowboy named the Maverick, collectively known as TV Generation.
Well, again, if you missed what happened last time, you know, these two, or I should say three now, and who knows, you know, they are just scoundrels. You know, they have no morals. They don't care how they win. They don't care who they hurt in the process. And to be honest with you, they may not be the biggest, but they are probably some of the most dangerous villains in LAW.
Well, they're for sure, they're pack animals. We know it's Wyndham James Winthorpe III, Monsieur Ooh-La-La, Big Ben, and I understand, according to a couple sources I have up front, they're talking, and there could possibly be more members down the line. We don't know who they're going to be. We don't know if they're current Law superstars or not, but it seems that they're on a recruitment drive, and unfortunately, 3, 4, 5, 6, it doesn't matter, unfortunately for them, how many they have. Those titles are coming home. And I promised I wouldn't dominate the entire hour talking about it, but they have cost me championship gold on two different occasions. Both the championship and the tag team championship. and I get my chance at redemption and homecoming. You know, and it is a literal and a homecoming for me and a figurative homecoming for me. As I return to championship gold, I return to Briarcliff. I went to middle school in Briarcliff, right around the corner from the building we're wrestling in. So Delco born and raised, and we're coming back to Delco, and I'm going to celebrate my homecoming with a championship.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world, my friend, and I hope the referees are ready to watch those scoundrels, you know, so that they do not pull their shenanigans that they like to pull. And hopefully, you know, good will win out that day.
Norm and I have been in conference quite a few times and will continue to as we train and prepare for these guys. And, you know, we have a couple things up our sleeves as well. It's going to be an interesting event for sure.
Well, again, like I said, I wish nothing but the best for you guys. And hopefully, you know, you guys will watch your back and, you know, maybe somebody can help watch your back.
Well, never say never. Never say never. So, and of course, like I said, next week we're going to start rolling out more of the superstars of Liberty All-Star Wrestling who will be in Briarcliff. We will have several of them on the air. And a chance to tell their story and get you excited for the big LAW homecoming show on April the 1st. And of course, I mentioned earlier, the return of Super Cody.
And I am excited because LAW is where the Super One was born. And the fact that I'm going to get to see all the great people of Delaware County who were so supportive, you know, throughout my entire career is just exciting to me.
All right. And so Super Cody's excited. And we're all excited. We hope you are, too. We hope you'll come out. Like we said, tickets just $12. It's a great family event. Lots of stuff to do and a lot of exciting wrestling.
That's true, and you know, like you said, 12 hours. Boy, you can't even go to a movie for that these days.
No, I was literally just found that out. I was trying to plan movie tickets for this weekend.
Oh, yeah, what are you going to see, sir?
Oh, I'm going to go see the Lego Batman movie, finally. We were away when it came out, so I missed opening weekend, but we're going to hopefully sneak out this weekend and catch it.
Oh, that was a superhero movie.
Review it live on the air on Mavericks Comic Roundup this Sunday on the Totally Driven Radio Network. I'll plug some more of my work.
You think if I pitch it, they'll make a Lego Super Cody movie?
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to try.
That could
All
be
right.
fun.
That's your big pitch? That could be fun.
Yeah.
You gotta do better than that, man.
Well, give me some time to work on it. I'll have a better pitch next week.
All right, there you go. Better pitch for the Lego Super Cody movie. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we will be talking the life and legacy of the late great Russian Bear Ivan Koloff. See you in 3 minutes and 17 seconds.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes' native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromhomes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Welcome back, wrestling fans, to LAW Retro Wrestling Radio. I am the Maverick, and joined by Mr. Super Cody himself, and we are going to be discussing the life and legacy of Ivan Koloff. And like we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, unfortunately, shortly after we went off the air, we got notice that the Russian bear Ivan Koloff had also passed away. We had just finished up our George the Animal Steel tribute and got another punch in the gut. Another one of the founding fathers of modern pro wrestling, Ivan Koloff. Such an influential guy. I ran through it earlier, former WWF champion, defeating Bruno Sammartino. And of course,
that
later...
And that was after Bruno's first and longest run, which no one
seven and
thought
a half
he
years.
Would be defeated.
Yeah, that was a huge, huge deal. Defeat of Bruno, it rapidly became the most hated man in the country, I believe, at that point. Because nobody thought Bruno was going to get beat. And a huge shocker, defeating Bruno, lost it not too much later to Pedro Morales.
Which, again, that was also a you had the Russian bear against basically wrestling's first world heavyweight Hispanic champion.
Yeah, definitely a pivotal point of history that was. He used the word transitional champion, but it doesn't matter because he was the champion for that time. And proceeded, it continued for many years just to be a brutal villain. And then I think he really utilized him well. The NWA used him well because they made him a mentor figure. And he just had so much knowledge to pass on. Of course, the Russians with his nephew Nikita and Crusher Khrushchev and so many other characters coming in there. And then working with Paul Jones towards the end of his career. And then even went into a little bit of managing after that. Just a long, long career. When you look at all the people he got to work with, he's one of the few who got to wrestle Bruno, and Backlund and, you know, in their heyday. Superstar Billy Graham.
He also wrestled Harley Race.
Yeah, for sure. Harley Race, Dusty Rhodes, you know, so many big names he was in there with.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, Ivan will forever be remembered as the man who defeated Bruno. And I don't know, have you ever actually seen that match?
I saw the ending of the match as part of a package of something I was watching, History of the WWF Belt, I believe.
Well, the thing that always stuck with me about that was when he climbed up to the top rope to deliver the knee.
Uh-huh.
And you got to get the original audio. And I used to have it on a VHS. And when he hit the knee, you could almost see the crowd knew that they knew in their hearts that Bruno was going to kick out. And then when that referee's hand went down for the third time, I have never seen the life drained out of a place like that in anything I've ever seen. It literally went dead silent because people were shocked. You know, you had your heavyweight championship now being held by an evil Russian.
And Bruno lost. And if you're looking for a modern parallel, it would be the streak ending, you know, the reaction, the hush and the silence and the stunness of the crowd when the streak ended. It was a similar situation because nobody thought Bruno was going to lose to Ivan. I mean, and Ivan was a tough go-getter, but no one at this point, Bruno was a Superman. Nobody thought Bruno was ever going to lose.
Yeah, they really did not. And it was one of them things, like I said, when he pinned him, it literally drained the life out of it, out of the entire arena. So it was fantastic to witness. But then he was always that guy that when they brought him back, you were afraid he was going to take – he was a guy that you never knew when he was going to take that title again.
No, absolutely, because he knew he was perfectly capable of it. And he had another shot at Bruno during the second reign, and it was a big deal because they thought, you know, he did it before. Can he do it again? Mm-hmm. And that was the cage match, the big publicized cage match they had. And that was a huge deal.
And then when they brought him in during the Backlund reign, It was another, because that was actually a Madison Square Garden sellout, because the big thing
right.
was is this was the man that defeated Bruno. Would he be the man to end Backlund's reign?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that was just the kind of aura this guy that Ivan Travel that carried with him for the rest of his career. I mean, obviously they didn't talk a lot about it in the NWA, but there was always that level of all around Ivan Koloff, and he was a rough, rugged individual. Watching a lot of tape on Ivan preparing for the show, that knee was deadly, and he used it as a weapon in several different ways, which is funny because you think of Ivan and the Russian sickle and, you know, the inventor of that, but that knee was a much more formidable weapon for most of his career.
It was. And you know, I like you said, when I think his NWA stuff was a lot better because he was the ultimate villain. You know, he had the monsters backing him, and you could never get to him. And then even if you could
right.
get to him, you forgot that he was not just some frail manager. He was actually a guy that he could pick you up over his head and knock you out.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're big Ivan Koloff. Like when you think of Ivan Koloff, what do you think?
My all-time favorite Ivan Koloff moment was NWA, actually. their feud with the Rock and Roll Express. And the match that always stuck in my head was when they lost the belts to the Rock and Roll Express, him and Nikita. Or was it him and Crusher Khrushchev? Now I'm a little drawing a blank. I know Ivan was in the match.
Yeah, I think it was him and Nikita. Or no, was that when Nikita was going after Flair?
Nope, I found the match. It was him and Crusher Khrushchev.
It was Crusher, yeah, because Nikita was going after Flair, I think. Was it Starrcade?
Oh, no, this was actually on TV.
I'm thinking of something else then.
This was on the regular TV show, because that is how they ended the show. And I will tell you, he played that part so well that you could not wait for them to get defeated, but you didn't know who was going to beat them.
No, you didn't care. And somebody had to beat them.
Exactly. When you think back on it, and they built such a rivalry that to this day, you know, it's still one of the greatest tag team rivalries of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. Ironically, my big Ivan feud moment is a tag team situation, but it was with a very different tag team. And the roughness, I'll never forget how rough it was, and that is the Road Warriors.
Yeah,
you know, the Russian chain matches with the Road Warriors and the brutality of it, I was just, you know, taken back by how these big, big men, and Ivan being the smallest of them, you know, standing right there holding his own against these monsters. But he was a monster in his own right.
Now, it's interesting you mention that, because a lot of people, you know, they remember the Road Warriors and how big they were, and of course Nikita and even Khrushchev. And then you had Ivan. Like you said, you know, he was the smallest of them, but he was probably the most dangerous of all of them.
Without a doubt, he was the toughest of the whole lot. He was just a rugged, tough dude. And you could see it in all of his matches. Just rough. So, yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one of them to fight, it wouldn't be Ivan. As big as the other ones were, I would not pick Ivan to fight if I had to pick one.
Well, he was in a tag team with Baron Von Raschke. And I will tell you, for two older gentlemen, I would never want to get in the ring with those two.
I didn't see it. I read on the Wikipedia that they had teamed, but I had never seen it. And I thought, wow, that's kind of that's a frightening tag team. But a lot of those tag team, when you read through some of the guys he teamed with and worked with over the years, some of the ones you forgot about, it was like everybody he was with, you're like, ooh, I don't want to pick a fight with them. Ooh, I certainly don't want to pick a fight with them, when you're talking about guys like Ray the Crippler Stevens and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it was funny just because, like you said, you know, you look at Ivan, and he was the smallest of them, but boy, was he was tough. He was tough.
Yeah, and I think especially during that period, he was overshadowed by the monster size of Nikita. But, you know, he was pivotal to that whole storyline. And one of the things I got to appreciate about the Russians, again, leads into how I like some of this stuff. I was a big fan, and probably the only one, of the six-man tag team championships. So, you know, the Russians versus the Road Warriors and Dusty were some of the best six-man tag matches. But I love that goofy old title. And the fact that he was one of the guys who kind of was the pioneer for it.
He was. And I agree with you. I used to love the six-man. I thought it, being a tag team fan and then just adding that extra man was so much fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it was always underutilized to me. I mean, I know six-mans are incorporated in all kinds of almost every show there's a six-man. And never having a real steady go with the six-man tag team championships. I really appreciate it when they did have them. And at one point, I had my own version I was planning of the six-man tag team championship. It was going to be a little different for Slamtastic. It was going to be the super team championship. But that was a little bit of a different concept. But, yeah, he was one of those guys. Six-man tag team with the Russians. And I think they may have just made it up to give the Russians another belt.
It wouldn't surprise me. But, getting back to even that, they made work so well. You look at just everything he did from Singh. He had a really nice career because, you know, he started out as a singles, you know, progressed
right
to the pinnacle of the world championship. And then, you know, as he got older, started slowing down, and started getting into more of a managerial mentor role. And basically, he didn't go out not on top. He was still on top, in my opinion.
Yeah, he transitioned out of the ring without really losing a whole lot. I was reading earlier, 94, I think he finally got out. He did the indies for a long time, and that's when he went to ECW and worked a ton of ECW in Eastern Championship Wrestling, I should say. He was in the early days of that in Tri-State Wrestling. And a lot of indies. He did a lot of work there. That reputation followed him everywhere he went, being both a big, tough, rugged guy and a mentor of sorts. And then, of course, a big part of his life was dedicated outside the ring. He worked extensively with the Children's Miracle Network for many, many years afterwards, became an ordained minister thanks to nephew Nikita. Went and spoke at prisons and things like that, and really used his celebrity and his career to go out, and he led a very busy life after his ring career, helping people.
You know, I can honestly say I had the pleasure of being in a locker room with Ivan, and he was every bit as a gentleman as he was tough, I would say. And
yeah,
he was just when I met Ivan, it was in his, you know, older years. You know, it was after the it was after the WCW run when he was basically doing the indies. And then I actually got to meet him. I meet up with him again a few years ago at one of the wrestling signings, because I was working on a little project with the great, you know, champions of the past who wrestled, you know, and Bruno Sammartino's greatest opponents, and of course, you know, you had to get Ivan, and
absolutely,
you know, he was still just as nice and as gracious. And one thing that really impressed me was there was a guy there who was a younger wrestler, and he was talking, and Ivan just couldn't stop talking and giving him advice and, you know, just trying to help the guy along. And it was just so nice to see.
That's cool.
And if you think about it, do you think Nikita Koloff would have been as big a star as he was if they did not have him with Ivan Koloff?
I don't know. That's a good question because, I mean, Nikita was a beast. There's a good chance that, depending on how they brought him in, he probably would have made an impact. I don't know that he would have been as feared as he was. I mean, when he came in and he was just this big beast and they, you know, booked him perfectly in the beginning, all he did was run in and kill people quickly. I think having Ivan there and saying, this is my nephew, the aura was there that gave him this ultimate rub as a villain and a monster. Like, people were legitimately like, oh crap, this guy's Ivan's nephew and he's so big. And it just gave you this fear because anytime I heard the Russians were up against somebody, I was like, oh crap, they got it. Like Rock and Roll Express, I was like, oh, they're going to die. I love the Rock and Roll Express, but they're going to die. You know, and then the Road Warriors are like, I don't think the Road Warriors might be able to take these guys. So there was definitely a fear thing with the Russians. And that was all because of Ivan, because you see, you know, Crusher Khrushchev went on to be Smash and had a really good career on his own, but, you know, he wasn't the one that they were afraid of.
No, and you think about it, you know, and, you know, I have to give credit on this line of questioning was actually brought to my attention by our good friend and always loyal listener, Brian Mackey. He brought up the point, if he was named anything else but Koloff, would Nikita have been had the impact? You know, if he was like Nikita Smith or something like that.
I don't think they'd bill him as Nikita Smith. but no, it's a really good point. I think having that automatic respect factor, you know, having the Koloff name, it was kind of like Arn Anderson. When he came in, he had that Anderson name, the Koloff name, carried a lot of weight. I mean, how, you know, being as big as he was, you know, there was a chance that he'd have some success, but would he have the frightening aura and the oh crap? I mean, at one point they thought he was going to get Flair. Everybody thought he was going to get Flair when he, you know. That was a big deal. And it was, I think it's the having the Koloff heritage and name was a big part of why he was so scary.
Yeah, and you know, having Ivan being able to talk for you and mentor you, I just think carried him a long way.
Oh, absolutely. The voice, the mouthpiece, like you said, that was enormous because Nikita by himself was not the greatest talker. And, you know, exposing the truth, he wasn't very convincing as a Russian. but Ivan was. You believed everything that came out of Ivan's mouth.
Oh, you did. You did. Like I said, I confided in you earlier. I did not know he was not Russian.
Yeah, that cracked me up. I read the same thing you did, like looking back and making sure I had all the bullet points that I wanted to. Yeah, the fact that he was Canadian really surprised me. And I'm not sure why it did. I think because I really thought he was legitimate from Lithuania or the Ukraine or something like that. Or at least had that heritage. You know, it never occurred to me. And then, you know, to read, you know, same as you did, that he debuted as an Irish rogue villain named Red McNulty. That's hilarious.
With an eye patch.
Right. I left that part out. Yeah, with an eye patch.
And then, of course, for that. I don't know, but you know what? I just pulled up some footage to put on the Retro Wrestling Radio page. probably
on Facebook.
On Facebook, that's right, of one of Ivan's, to me, shocking moments. And a lot of our fans may remember this. And again, this was brought to my attention by our friend Brian. When they attacked Cowboy Bill Watts and laid the Russian flag over top of him.
Mm. Yeah.
It turned around the entire UWF. It turned into a big thing, and they kept showing the footage week after week, and they said, you know, the proud American Bill Watson, he's having that flag draped over him. And, you know, again, I don't think it would have worked with anybody but Uncle Ivan.
That was but such a big thing that they got to Bill Watts. And, you know, he was your stereotypical American Midwestern guy. And, yeah, the Russians. Definitely check that video out.
Well, what's funny about that, and I'll bring up a great point, is they had a Russian in the UWF, Korchakov Korchenko, who was a big, impressive-looking guy. But I just found it funny that they thought that, you know, bringing in Ivan and Nikita would make the event even that much more better. And it really did. So it just goes to show you that not everyone could do the Russian successfully. I mean, besides Nikolai Volkov, I can't really tell you too many who were very successful with portraying the Russian.
But you know, I was just gonna add that. When you look at it, I've seen so many, hundreds, thousands, and I mean, goodness gracious, there's still people out there doing the Soviet Union gimmick today, and it's been gone for 20 years. But, you know, to me, there was only two real, and that's Ivan and Nikolai. You know, Nikita, probably because he turned babyface and became the American first, he doesn't as... But when I think of Russian villains, I think of two, and that's Ivan and Nikolai. And Ivan, obviously, was just the master of it. He was so sadistic, whereas, you know, so many others just didn't connect.
No. And, I mean, you look at, like I said, you had Korsakov Korchenko, Crusher Khrushchev, or Zhukov.
And they even, you know, your Russian assassins and stuff like that came down the pike later and to very little fanfare.
That's true. I just think that they couldn't. And it's kind of funny because the only person that we even say came close was Nikolai Volkov, who was legitimately Russian.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he comes in second for the all-time Russian gimmicks to me. And I love Nikolai. He's one of my favorites. But, you know, Ivan Koloff is, you know, probably the most feared Russian I ever, to me anyway, you know, and it didn't even matter who he was with because he was pretty frightening with the powers of pain and they didn't scare anybody.
Now, what is your most memorable Ivan Koloff moment?
I mentioned the feud with the Road Warriors. That one always stuck with me, the Russian mm-hmm. chain matches with them. I think crushing Animal's face. That one's up there. And with him and the powers of pain. I mean, the powers of pain did most of the dirty work, but I just remember Ivan being a part of that. And another big Ivan moment was, I think, I really enjoyed the Nikita turn and Ivan's reaction to that. Because it was such a huge betrayal. We talk about he came around and joined America because of Magnum, but, you know, Nikita really made that, or Ivan really made that work, rather. Because he just took it to a new sadistic level of, I'm going to get you for what you did. Are you still there?
He did, and...
There you are. Playing Words with Friends again?
No. I agree with you 100% on that. I think this is going back to what I was saying earlier. He just added so much to that, and like you said, he did the betrayal, and then he brought in another big Russian, and I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy was huge. He was actually bigger than Nikita.
And I forget who that was. He didn't last long.
No, he didn't. But, who was that guy? Now that's going to bug me.
Because
like I said. Leave it to our buddy, Vladimir Petrov.
Yeah. Vladimir Petrov.
That's our friend Brian sending that over to us.
Always appreciate it. But, yeah, he's another one who just didn't pull off the intimidating, frightening Russian thing.
Yeah, he was big, and that pretty much was it for him. The feud with him and Nikita was so underwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because, you know, we're sitting there talking about, you know, a man who was well past his prime in Ivan, and you remember his matches more than you remember the young guys going against Nikita.
Yeah, for sure. And that was the staying power. He had such an aura about him and such a presence that, you know, you remembered so much of what he did because, you know, you'd check under your bed for Ivan Koloff. He was a scary, scary man. And, you know, in real life, you keep hearing that he was a teddy bear. You know, he was a sweet guy. You know, you don't hear a lot of bad things about Ivan. At least I haven't.
No, you really don't, but you also know that he wasn't somebody to be trifled with.
No, for sure. So, did you ever read his book?
I did not. I actually just found out when I was doing research that he wrote a book.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either. Like I said, drumming up on things, they talked about his book. I was curious if he had a lot of stories and tales, or if it was more of a, you know, overall, I didn't get to read it. Never even recall seeing it, or I would have picked it up. It's one of those things. Probably a short press run, but definitely something I think I want to get into and read. There's a couple of anytime you get that kind of wisdom, you should just suck it up.
Well, I would like to hear his account of what happened, because I'll be honest, I think it's on YouTube if you look for it, the account of Captain Lou from the night Ivan won the belt.
Right, how bad it was.
And how yes, and how riots broke out. And he said he you definitely got to hear Captain Lou's take on that. And I'd love to read what Ivan's take on the whole thing was.
Yeah, well, I mean, Captain Lou is definitely a colorful character, so you know his version of the story is going to be very well told. And Cap used to, you know, he used to tell all the time about the tales of the, those New York, New Jersey towns where, you know, mm-hmm. they would throw, you know, cinder blocks through their windows while they would go in to eat. So I imagine dethroning Bruno would not sit well with a large majority of the New Jersey, New York fan base.
And just so our LAW Retro Wrestling Radio fans are aware, I did locate the match where he beat Bruno Sammartino for the belt. It's some raw footage, but hey, if you want to watch a classic history-making event, it is on the LAW Retro Wrestling Facebook page.
There you go. Ivan versus Bruno. Poster right there on the internet for the universe to see. So yeah, Ivan Koloff will definitely be missed. He hadn't had a big presence in the wrestling world lately. He'd been battling liver problems for 10 years, but watching the news report from his hometown, he was still very active in his hometown, doing a lot for charity, still involved in Children's Miracle Network, still very involved in his ministries and his speaking out. So definitely feel the loss to the wrestling world. Our condolences to the Russian Bears family and friends, and of course all of us fans who, you know, lost another amazing icon of professional wrestling, the archetype to me for the Russian villain. Any Russian villain I see in the ring has automatically compared to Ivan Koloff, like I said, and he's kind of the measuring stick, and so many have just not even come close.
That's the truth. He was the, and always will be, the quintessential, you know, without him there would be no Rusevs and whatnot today.
No, yeah, I mean, you look at how many the different national gimmicks weren't able to keep up, but the Russian thing, I mean, Rusev isn't obviously Soviet-y, but with the climate in Russia right now, it's still very timely, and he does a fantastic job of doing it, but, you know, again, it's you know, he's doing the Ivan Koloff thing to an extent. Not full on out, but he's still the Russian villain. I mean, he doesn't have the chain and the bald head, which I'm not buying any Russian with hair ever.
Yeah, when did they start growing hair?
No, I don't know. I don't believe them. I don't trust them. Nikita. Well, Nikita turned good and grew hair, which I thought was hilarious.
I remember that.
Grew his hair out. It was a screw cut, but still, he grew hair. It's, you know, you tell he defected from Russia because he grew his hair out. So to me, everybody, until Dolph Lundgren came on, every Russian in the world was bald to me.
And every German villain had to have the name Bonn in the middle.
Well, they still should. Now that covers a very small portion of Ivan Koloff's career. Like I said, we wanted to pay our respects to the legend here on Retro Wrestling Radio because he's the reason we're here. These old classic legendary wrestlers, and we do thank you for tuning in every month. Hopefully the next time we come back on the air, we've got a much happier topic. we're not eulogizing another one of our heroes. Rough couple of weeks, both with George the Animal Steel and Ivan Koloff passing. Hopefully we get into something good next week. Something uplifting.
Yeah.
Like
fire
matches.
Two legends.
Yeah. So, once again, that rapidly brings us towards the end of our hour here on Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network. Make sure you tune in to all of the shows on the HIT Network, including the flagship itself, Totally Driven Radio, Mavericks Comic Roundup, Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferrara, Mojo Sports Show, and so many others. Make sure you check out TotallyDrivenTV.com for the complete list of shows and when they air. And don't forget, Liberty All-Star Wrestling, LAW Homecoming, Saturday, April 1st, at the Briarcliff Fire Company, number 75. Street address is 767 Beach Avenue, with two E's, Glen Olden, PA, 19036. All tickets are $12. And it benefits the Briarcliff Fire Company, number 75, bell time 6:30, two championship matches, and much, much more, including the return to the ring. He's been on the air for a couple weeks now. The return to the ring of Super Cody.
I cannot express how much I am looking forward to this. I just can't wait, you know, to see the great fans of LAW after all these years. And hopefully I can help out with some of these villains that are starting to overrun the LAW.
There you go. The Super One is ready. I hope you are too. Make sure you jump online. LibertyAllStarWrestling.com. Tickets on sale now. Now. Did you get yours? I have mine. Thank you for tuning in. No, you might. You're going to have a seat?
No, I don't.
All right.
I am going on LibertyAllStarWrestling.com as we speak.
There you go. He's going to go get himself a ticket. And LAW, we do wrestling old school. We're very retro. That's why we have our wrestling show. There's hundreds of wrestling shows out there, but ours is the Retro Wrestling Radio. We do thank you for tuning in. If you are a comic book fan, as I hope you are, tune in this Sunday morning at 9 a.m. to Mavericks Comic Roundup, hosted by that devilishly handsome masked cowboy, the Maverick, as he, or, you know, I, if you're not paying attention, talk the latest and greatest in comic books. And this week, we're going to have a live review on the air of the Lego Batman movie, a brand new six-shooter, and lots of more comic book goodness. So tune in here on the Totally Driven Radio Network to that. Tune back here next week, Friday night at 9 p.m. as Super Cody and I discuss something hopefully much more uplifting.
Like LAW.
Like LAW. We will have some news on the LAW homecoming event and much more, as well as some great topic in regards to the golden ages of pro wrestling.
All right, my friend. Well, it's been fun.
All right. We do thank you for tuning in. And until we meet again, happy trails.